Please turn your Bibles to Mark and chapter 14. Mark and chapter 14. Our text this morning is Mark 14, and we'll be reading from verse 53 right through to 72. Mark 14, 53 to 72. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also with Jesus of Nazareth?" But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Now, the last time we were in the Gospel of Mark, we'd been reflecting on the Lord's experience in the Garden of Gethsemane prior to his suffering upon the cross. We had seen several things about his experience there. We saw that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he revealed his humanity, his vulnerability. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed out of his own sense of God's help. Furthermore, we saw that he expressed his need for the support of friends, and he experienced disappointment at the hand of his friends. One friend in particular, even Judas Iscariot, betrayed Jesus. He betrayed him with a kiss in accordance to God's foreknowledge and the scriptures. And Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss basically to give a false impression, a false appearance of his affection to the Lord. In other words, he was hypocritically trying to show that he had an intense love for Jesus, even while at the same time giving a signal to the enemies of Jesus that this was the one who needed to be arrested. Under the guise of friendship and love, he betrayed his master into the arms of his enemies. Judas disappointed the Lord. In this sermon, we want to reflect on yet another friend of Jesus who also disappointed him. He did not betray him like Judas did. He did not turn against him in the same manner that Judas did. But he certainly did forsake him along with the others. We read about them in verse 50. You will remember, they all forsook him and fled. Peter did forsake Christ and flee. We are told about another man who did a similar thing. We don't know very much about him, but he was among the disciples of Christ. In verse 51, he is referred to simply as a certain young man who followed him. He had a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Rather than stand with Christ, he was willing to flee, to run naked. Peter, along with him and the others, also fled. But Peter didn't just forsake Christ and flee. He sinned in some other way. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And he denied him not just once, but three times. And it is to this sin, really, that I want to draw your attention this morning. But before we do that, I think it is fitting that we make a few observations about Peter. And the very first thing we note about him is that he had earlier on followed Jesus promptly when he was called. Jesus called every one of his apostles, including Peter. And when Peter heard the call of Jesus, he didn't hesitate. He didn't delay. He promptly followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing we see about Peter is that he declared on behalf of the other disciples, and indeed on his own behalf, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. Where others might have hesitated, where others might have doubted, Peter stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter had a very personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, this man was among Jesus' bosom friends. He was a friend of Christ, but not just a friend, a very close friend, a bosom friend. He was among those Jesus had invited in the Garden of Gethsemane to go and pray with him. All the other disciples were praying, they were encouraged to pray. But he had Peter, James, and John to pray for him in a more intimate way, in a deeper way. Peter stood out. Furthermore, this man revered the Lord Jesus Christ. This man respected the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so committed that at one point he declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. I'm prepared to do anything. Even if I have to go to the cross with you, even if I have to have a gun held against my head, I will not deny you." And it wasn't very long before this time when he said those words in Mark 14 and verse 31. So humanly speaking, Jesus would have been expecting much from this man by way of support. But this is the very man who now denies him. Not once, but three times. You can be as strong as Peter, as forward as Peter, as assertive as Peter, but in the heat of the moment, deny Jesus, just as Peter did. Over the years, I have known and shepherded many believers, some members of this church, who were strong and promising, just like Peter. But who, like Peter, denied their Lord? Peter, as I will be mentioning later on, had the privilege of being restored to Jesus. Well, some of those who have fallen are still fallen. They haven't been restored. And some, I fear to say, may die in that state. This was Peter. But what can we learn about his sin? Three things, I believe, and they are all recounted here in Mark chapter 14. Please note with me, first of all, that Peter's denial of Jesus was incited by what he saw and heard happen to Jesus after his arrest. In verse 53, we read these words, "And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and the scribes. And then we read in verse 54, but Peter followed him at a distance. Notice those words. They led Jesus away, but Peter followed him at a distance. And like his friends who momentarily appear to have fled and disappeared, he also did. But here we find that Peter followed him at a distance. He therefore must have been a witness to much that was happening to Jesus. What did he see on that early Friday morning? Well, first, he saw Jesus experience animosity at the hands of the Jews, at the hands of the religious people. These are people we have already observed hated Jesus. They didn't like Jesus. They were looking for an opportunity to kill Jesus. And Peter saw Jesus handed over to them, to the high priest, to the chief priest, to the elders. And when they had him to themselves, we notice that they slandered him and invented stories about him. Verse 55, the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death. They looked for testimony. They searched for testimony. False testimony. And we see these things happening even in our day, don't we? Politicians looking for false testimony so they can persecute their enemies, their political enemies. And they sought for testimony. They went to people and encouraged them to create a story, a false story about Jesus, and bring it forward so they can use the evidence to have him arrested, and not just arrested, but killed. Peter heard that. Peter saw that. He heard them misrepresent Jesus Christ. We read in verse 56, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. And then there were others we read about in verse 57. Some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Now, Jesus didn't say that. He said something similar to that. Jesus wasn't referring to the temple in which the high priests and the chief priests served. He was referring to his own body. And he was referring to the fact that he would be killed, and within 3 days, he would be raised from the dead. That is what he was referring to. But they took that and misrepresented it so it would sound bad and wrong. So it would sound wrong enough to have him arrested and killed. Peter heard that. Peter heard them pressurizing Jesus to incriminate himself. Jesus was illegally forced to give testimony against himself. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus in verse 60, saying, "Do you answer nothing? You answer nothing? You've heard all these accusations. Do you answer nothing? Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And of course, they wanted him to say, yes. And yes, he did say, "I am." And for them, that was enough. He had incriminated himself. What further need do we have of witnesses? He said it. He's made this claim. He's arrogating to himself a standing, a name that belongs only to God. He said it himself. He deserves to die. As if that wasn't enough, immediately they proceeded to beat him up, to ridicule him. The crowd of leaders began to spit on Jesus, to punch him and to ridicule him. Some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hand. Peter heard about that. He probably saw some of that. And that, as you can imagine, must have filled him with fear. He must have thought, "I will be next. I may go through a similar thing. This is the man who not long before had been saying, 'I will not deny you. I will die with you. I will suffer with you. I will be stuck with you.'" But when he saw that what Jesus had to suffer was serious, and it may happen to him, he was filled with fear and dread. Peter's denial was incited by what he saw happen to Jesus. But notice in the second place, Peter's denial consisted in three lies. Triggered by a servant girl and others who associated with him at that time. He was sitting in a courtyard along with others, even as the Lord Jesus Christ went through that harrowing experience. Three lies. A servant girl looked at him and said, You were with Jesus of Nazareth." Lie number one. He lied about knowing or understanding anything about what she was talking about. You were with Jesus of Nazareth," she said. But he denied it, we read in verse 68. "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." What are you saying? I don't understand you. I don't get you. He just pretended that he was stupid. He couldn't understand a simple accusation such as was being put before him. And this denial was signaled by the crowing of a rooster. I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ had said would happen. Secondly, he lied about being one of them. That is to say, he lied about being one of the disciples of Jesus. The servant girl saw him again in verse 69 and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them. This is a disciple of Jesus. He followed him. He believed what he taught. He stood with him. This is one of them." And he denied it. A little later, those who stood by said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." He lied about not knowing Jesus. He lied, saying he wasn't bright enough to understand what the girl was saying. He lied that he wasn't one of the disciples of Jesus. And now he says, "I don't know Jesus." He lied to the point of cursing and swearing, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." When he lied the second time, that too was signaled by the crowing of the rooster. So by the time he had lied the third time, the rooster had crowed twice, just as Jesus said. In verse 30, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." I wonder how you might be denying the Lord Jesus Christ today. I wonder how you might be denying the Lord Jesus Christ now. I wonder how you might be denying the Lord, especially in the face of trial. Have you sought not to identify yourself with Christ because of what you stand to lose? If I stand high, if I raise my head or my voice, testifying to my relationship with Christ, I might lose my job. Or I might lose this potential husband. You know he's not a Christian. You know he doesn't care about Jesus. But he has proposed you for marriage. And if you say you are a Christian, and if you start bugging him about Christ, you think he might lose interest. And so you don't say anything about Jesus. Or you may be afraid of losing your job. Because your job has said here, "We will have nothing to do with God." That is something you do in private. You can have your Jesus in private, not here. You can live for Jesus in private, not here. You can't talk about him. You can't boast about him. You are to be quiet about that. You have no wish to lose your job.
And so, quietly, you deny Jesus.
Or have you sought not to identify yourself with Jesus because of what you stand to gain? If you deny him, to use the language of Satan himself, I will give you all these kingdoms. Saying that to Jesus himself, if you deny God, I will give you all these kingdoms. I will give you all this wealth. Maybe you are experiencing something similar. If you deny Jesus, if you don't confess him, you will have all this to gain, all this to inherit, all these benefits.
And have you denied him so you can gain?
Well, Peter dissociated himself from Christ. Look at who he was hanging around with. It was people who were ridiculing Jesus. It was people who were condemning Jesus. It was people who would soon be shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" These are the people he was hanging around with. He was below in the courtyard, enjoying the fire, the warmth of the fire, with people who were conspiring to condemn Jesus.
These are the people he associates with now. Are you like Peter, hanging out with the Christless crowd? The deniers of Jesus, the haters of Jesus, the betrayers of Jesus. That association amounts to a denial of Christ.
Are you perhaps failing to speak for Jesus? You know you ought to be speaking. You ought to be speaking. You ought to be preaching Christ. You ought to be holding him before the world. But you have sealed your mouth. Your words can make a difference. Your words could be the occasion for the spread of the gospel, for the establishment of his kingdom. But you have shut your mouth,
just like Peter did. In the church, many profess that they know Jesus, but to use the language of James, they deny him by their works, by their deeds. Do you claim to be a worshiper of God, a follower of Christ, but by your deeds you deny him? Peter denied him through telling lies. Let's note in the third place Peter's denial of Jesus the third time culminated into a conviction and repentance of sin. It culminated into a conviction and repentance of sin. Note that in verse 72. A second time, the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But it's the following words that are important. And when he thought about it, he wept. When he thought about it, he wept. He wept.
Following the crowing of the rooster, and if you read John's account of this matter in chapter 18, it wasn't just that the rooster crowed and he was reminded of what Jesus had said. John suggests that no sooner had he lied the third time, Jesus looked at him accusingly. It is as if he was saying to him, "You see, Peter, I told you that you would deny me three times. You see?" And when Peter heard the rooster, and especially when Peter saw the Lord's look, he was filled with shame. He was filled with sorrow. And so he wept. Maxwell putting it is that he thought about it. When he thought about it, he wept. When he thought about the things Jesus had said, the things Jesus had prophesied, he wept. Matthew 26 tells us that that weeping was bitter. He wept bitterly. And Peter's tears shows us that there is a close connection between departure from God and unhappiness. When you depart from God, when you slide away from God, you will not be happy. You will not find fulfillment. And I know there's someone here. You have departed from God, or you are departing from God. And if you were to be honest with yourself, you are not happy. You may be enjoying your sin, but you are not happy. You cannot be happy. As a result of Peter's sin, at this moment in time, when it now dawns on him that this sin was not an end in itself, it was a sin against God. It was a dishonor to God. It was a betrayal of his master. When he realized that, his heart was heavy. His conscience was uneasy. His hope was clouded. He was ashamed. He wept. Denying the Lord, however you do it, however you may be doing it, is a matter that should bring shame and regret to your soul. Are you ashamed that you are not living as you ought before the Lord? Are you ashamed that you have denied him, not once, not twice, not three times, but many times? Are you ashamed? You ought to be ashamed. You ought to regret that. And that experience, beloved friends, is a sign of a true faith in Christ in existence. Peter was a true believer in Christ. True believers weep over sin True believers regret for sinning. True believers are ashamed when they sin. It is also true to say that when you are not moved or grieved, when you are not moved to regret when you are sinning, it might be an indicator of the fact that you are not a true believer. Peter was a true believer. He realized his sin, he sorrowed over sin, he wept over his sin. And if you read John chapter 21, he didn't just weep over sin. He made things right with the Lord. The Lord asked him 3 times, probably because he denied him 3 times. The Lord asked him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Do you agapeo me? Do you agapeo me? Do you phileo me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me like a friend? Peter, do you love me? And Peter reaffirmed his love when he responded, Lord, you know that I love you. I did a shameful thing. I did a silly thing. But you know that I love you. Judas didn't do that. He had a sorrowing of the heart, which was superficial. We don't read about him affirming his love for Jesus, asking for forgiveness for his sin. We don't read anything about that. Instead, he went and took his life. Well, Peter affirms his love. He reaffirms his love. You know that I love you. Perhaps you have denied your Lord today. Have you gone back to him to confess your sin, to repent of your sin, to weep over your sin, to seek his forgiveness, to reaffirm your love? Have you done that? Peter did that. Let me end in this way. Standing with the Lord and for the Lord and not denying him in any circumstance, including trying circumstances, is part of our duty and calling as believers. What is it that the Lord expected of Peter? To stand firm. That's part of your calling. That's part of your duty, to stand. Some people hide behind the fact that they are only human. Haven't you heard that often? Haven't you said that often? I'm only human. The temptation was too much. I'm only human. As if the command went something like, you must stand, but you can't fall because you're only human. No. It is your duty to stand. Secondly, when you don't stand but choose to deny the Lord, it is a sin. It is a sin. Even great saints sin. Peter was a great saint. And he sinned. His sin was inexcusable. Because the Lord warned him, the Lord warned him, completely inexcusable. But he still sinned. So many great people, Christians, they have the power to overcome sin. But they sin with impunity. They sin willingly. And they don't have to. But when you do sin, this is the third point, you must grieve over sin. You must repent of sin. You must weep over sin. When did you last weep over sin? When did you last cry before the Lord? Because you were ashamed of the way you were living. Because you were ashamed of your failings. We must grieve over sin and weep over it. And when we do, the Lord will forgive us as he forgave Peter. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I do. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He didn't throw him away and damn him forever. He restored him. He restored him to the core and to his work. And Peter has been a blessing to the church, hasn't he? Even so, you can be restored, but you must repent. You can be restored, but you must grieve over sin. You must weep. You must ask for forgiveness. You can be restored. And when you are restored, you can go on serving the Lord. You can stand. You don't have to commit that sin again. It's possible for you to stand like the Lord himself stood. He was going through a very difficult time, wasn't he? But he did not sin. He did not yield. They threatened to kill him, and they killed him. Not once did he deny his God. This same Jesus who went through this can also help you to stand to the glory of God. Amen.